Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday at this time by the grace of God. We thank the Lord for 17 years. We have been coming on the radio with these broadcasts, and we praise the Lord for this day, for the provision for the broadcast, and we thank you for tuning in and listening today. Today we're going to be talking about part two of our series, What Does the Bible Have to Say About Hell? And today is going to be, What Did Jesus Say About Hell? And so this is going to be a very interesting message, a very interesting subject, and so many people have their opinions about it, but we're going to look and see what Jesus himself says about that place of eternal torment. Stay tuned, turn in your Bible to Matthew 7:13, and we'll look at that passage of Scripture here in just a minute, right after our prayer time. Father God, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for your Son Jesus, most of all for the death that he died, the blood that he shed for us. Father, we thank you for the resurrection, that he now sits at the right hand of God, and we pray for the nation of America. We thank you, Lord, for the freedoms that we have, the freedom to have freedom of religion, freedom of speech. We can come on the radio and television, speak our messages, speak our blessings upon the people, Lord. We thank you for that. We thank you for the provision for these broadcasts, for the projects we have going in Africa. Father, I pray for each and every person out there today suffering from physical ailment, from cancers, arthritis, heart disease, all types of physical infirmity. We ask you to send your angels and touch them today. And we pray for those who have mental problems, mental issues, Father, that are in depression, despair, discouragement, disappointment. All of those things, we pray that you would lift them up with your word, lift them up with your encouragement, with your strengthening. And we thank you, Lord, that you're able to do this, that you are the light of the world. You are the hope for all mankind. You are the hope that does not disappoint. And so we pray for these people that are listening today, Lord, touch their hearts with a message here today. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. We're going to have a good message here today. What does Jesus say about hell? And we'll take this up in just a minute. But first, I want to give you an update on the projects we have going over here in Africa. I'm coming to you from Kenya today. And we've got a lot of good things going. We have our children at home now, at the children's home, about 25 or 30 children. We have them at home. The schools have been shut down because of the national election. And we're in the time of national election. It happens every 5 years here in Kenya. And so they're in the tallying phase. It looks like, at this point in time, it looks like there might be a runoff election, as the two main candidates, the two major vote getters, did not, either one, receive more than 50% of the vote tally. And so when that happens here in Kenya, they have a runoff election. So from this point today, it looks like there might be a runoff coming. But we also have a project going over in Tanzania. We have a crusade that we're organizing over there, trying to get singers lined up and permits and platforms and all the things we need over there. Arusha is in northern Tanzania. It's straight south of Nairobi, about 5-6 hour bus ride south of Nairobi. And so we'll be going over there in late September. And so keep that in your prayers if you would like to help support that crusade. We're going to be also doing a conference in the church, hopefully this fall, the Encountering God conference after the crusade. We'll be coming back to Kenya and hopefully be able to organize an Encountering God conference. And so that is also a priority here for the ministry in the fall time, in this time coming up to the new year. So things are happening here. You can be a part of it. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for contact information and you can be a part of any of these great things we have going here in Africa. Well, today we're going to be talking part two about our series, What Does the Bible Have to Say About Hell? And the reason that I'm speaking about this, it's not my favorite subject, obviously. I don't think anybody really likes to speak about hell or preach about hell, the reality of hell, but Jesus himself spoke about it. In fact, scholars say that he spoke more about hell than he did about heaven, and I'm sure that's probably true because he was giving warning to people all the time, and basically that's what I'm doing as well, is giving warning to people. I would love to just speak about and preach about the joys of salvation, the joys of heaven, and I do that plenty enough, I believe, I do that at every possible juncture, speak about the joys of salvation in heaven, but it's also important to remind people that there is an alternative to heaven. There is a place where there is separation from God, and that place is called hell, and Jesus also spoke about that. And so people who have a mindset that hell is just what we live here on this earth, I'm sure you've heard people say that they're living in hell right now, so they have nothing to fear about the future, the afterlife. Well, beloved, don't fall into that line of thinking. Don't be tricked into believing that that is true. We are not living in hell here on the earth. Yes, you may have a difficult life. Yes, you may be trapped in some kind of addiction or bondage and feel like you're in hell, but this is just a tiny, tiny foretaste of the reality of the true hell, where the eternal separation from God and the eternal torment, the eternal suffering goes on forever and ever. And so don't be tricked into believing that what you're experiencing here on the earth is hell. It's just a teeny tiny portion of what is yet to come for those who reject God, for those who reject Jesus Christ. And so don't be tricked into believing that. There are also some who believe and say that, well, God is such a loving God that he would never ever send his children to hell. He would never send those that he has created to hell because he is so compassionate and loving that he cannot do such a thing. Well, don't be tricked into believing that either. God created hell for the devil and his angels, but he also allows people to choose him or to not choose him here on this earth. And so people in a very real sense, in a very strict sense, they are the ones that choose hell for themselves. It isn't God that puts them there. People choose hell for themselves when they deny God, when they deny the reality, the existence of Jesus Christ and the blood sacrifice that he made. Then they're lying against the Holy Spirit, which is a sin. Jesus said to lie against the Holy Spirit is an unforgivable sin, because you're lying against the convicting power of God, the power that God sends through the Holy Spirit to convict you of your sins and to convince you that Jesus Christ is real, that he died on the cross for you, that he shed his perfect, precious blood for you. And so when you deny that reality, when you deny the creation of God and the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ, then you are choosing for yourself the alternative, which is to be eternally separated from God. And so in a very real sense, God does not send people to hell. People choose hell for themselves because of their rejection of Jesus Christ. And so, yes, our God is a loving, kind, compassionate God. Our God is full of second chances. He wants to give people opportunity to confess their sin, to repent of their sin, to turn from their wicked ways, which is repentance. That's what repentance means, to turn from your wicked way. And God is always willing to do that. God is always compassionate and gives people a second chance, no matter how far you are away from God. If you're listening to me now, No matter how far away from God you are, maybe you've been living a life of rebellion and running from God for many years, but if you stop today and turn to Him and seek Him with all your heart, strength, mind, and soul, and confess your sin, God will be bountiful in His love, continue in His love for you, and He will forgive you of your sin, and He will remember your sin as far as the east is from the west. He will remember it no more. He will remember it as far as the east is from the west, and so God then will restore you to right standing to Himself, and you can know that God is for you, He is not against you, and He will restore you to your right place, to a place of righteousness through the blood of Jesus Christ, to a place of righteousness and right standing with God. And so Jesus spoke about the reality of hell, and I believe if you are listening today, you must have some belief in the Bible. If you have no belief in the Bible, then nothing I say today is going to make any difference to you. But if you have no belief in the Bible, I question why you're even listening to this broadcast, because you must have some belief in God's Word. You must have some belief in the Bible to have an interest and a curiosity to be listening. And so I assume that you have some belief. And so we're going to go by what God's Word says in His Bible, in His Word. And the Word was made flesh. The Word is Jesus Christ. And so you must have some belief in that to understand the realities of hell and the reality of heaven. Well, in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus is speaking the Sermon on the Mount, and there's three chapters there, 5, 6, and 7, that are just loaded with good teaching, with wisdom from Jesus Christ, and He's speaking to the people, the children of Israel there, the Sermon on the Mount, and He says in verse 13, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it." He's talking about there are many who go in by the way of destruction, or through the gate of destruction. And in verse 14, "But narrow is the gate, and difficult or confined is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." Beloved, if you pattern yourself and pattern your life after the broad way, after the way the world goes, if you look out your window or out your door every day and see what the world is doing and you go chasing after it, which is a lot of eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. I guess that is the world's motto, you could say. Lots of entertainment, lots of leisure, lots of eating, drinking alcohol, drinking other types of things, smoking marijuana, smoking pot, other kinds of drugs, all kinds of pornography to titillate your senses, titillate your sexual fantasies. This is the way the world goes. Lying, cheating, stealing, addictions, all of this stuff, you know it. If this is what you pattern your life after, and Hollywood movie stars are your idol, and this is what you pattern your life after, then you are on the broadway to hell. You are on the broadway to destruction. And this is what Jesus is saying. There are many who will go in the broad gate, on the broadway, and they will find destruction. And He's not talking about death there. Every person dies. That is a given. I don't know one single person who's been on this earth who hasn't died, even those that live to 100 years or 110 years, which there are few. They eventually die, and you will die too. If you're listening today, there at some point in time, you're going to close your eyes, take your last breath, and you will die. And so Jesus said that the broad gate leads to destruction, and what He's talking about there is destruction for eternity. Destruction eternal, destruction eternal, separation, eternal condemnation and damnation, separation from God. And so this is the broad gate. But He says, the gate is narrow and difficult, which leads to life or leads to eternal life with Christ Jesus. The gate is narrow and it is difficult. It is confined. It is restricted. There's only one way that you can go through the narrow gate, and that is through the blood of Jesus that he shed on the cross. That is the only passageway that will lead you to eternal life with Christ Jesus. It isn't about church attendance. It's not about water baptism. It's not about being a good person, doing good things, trying to be an upright, outstanding citizen. All of those things are great. I hope you are an upright citizen. I hope you are a good person and don't go out and be a rebellious lawbreaker. But there's only one way that you're going to come in through the narrow gate, and that is through the blood of Jesus Christ, through the atoning sacrifice that he made on the cross. And when you understand that, then you're going to understand that religious rituals, traditions, and just trying to be a good person in your own strength will not get you in through the narrow gate. It will only get you to a place of destruction, and you're just going to be a good person on your way to hell. Well, Jesus uses another word picture in Matthew 7, verse 17, and he's talking about trees and how trees, you can know a tree by its fruit. And this is so true, we know this. I have an orchard out there in Kansas, have an orchard here in Kenya as well. And when you walk up to an avocado tree, you expect to see avocados on the tree. When you walk up to a mango tree, you expect to see mangoes. And so Jesus says in Matthew 7:17, even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. And verse 18, a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit, it is cut down and thrown into the fire. And so what he's saying here is that if you do not have good fruit hanging on your tree, that is fruits of righteousness, fruits of repentance. God took John the Baptist out to the Jordan River, and John started baptizing people out there. That was before Jesus had come onto the scene, and John was out there baptizing people out there, and the Pharisees, the religious elite, those who were experts in practicing all the details of the law. The religious elite even eventually came out there to see John, and he told them, bring forth fruits according to repentance. In other words, what does your life look like? Does your life look like a life of righteousness that has been born out of repentance? Repentance is turning from your wicked ways, renouncing your wicked ways, confessing your sin, and then living a life that is conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Living a life that looks like Jesus here on this earth. And it's a life that is exemplified or manifests the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, patience, self-control. If those are the attributes that are most evident in your life, then you have the fruits of the Spirit, and you're bringing forth good fruits, and good fruits are hanging off of your tree. But if you have a bad tree and you're producing bad fruits, Jesus says you can't produce good fruits off of a bad tree. And so John the Baptist told the Pharisees, once you repent, then you will be looking at good fruits coming off of the tree of your life. Well, Matthew 3:10, we'll look at that scripture where John is speaking to the Pharisees. He tells them in Matthew 3:10, even now the axe is laid to the root of the tree. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Well, that's a reference to hell right there. Every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. He's saying the very same words that Jesus said later on in Matthew chapter 7. And so thrown into the fire is a reference to hell. John the Baptist said it. Jesus said it. that the bad trees that don't bear good fruit are cut down and thrown into the fire. Then in verse 12 in Matthew chapter 3, this is John the Baptist speaking also. He's talking about the threshing floor. And the threshing floor was the place where the grain that had been cut out in the field, the stalks of grain or the shocks of grain that have been cut out in the field, the wheat, the barley, the maize, whatever, they take it to the threshing floor. They take they beat the wheat out of the head, and then the chaff and the grain is separated by the wind. They throw the grain up into the air, and the wind then takes the chaff away. The heavy grain, the heavy wheat, the barley falls to the ground, and then that heavy grain is put into the silo or put into the granary, and it is stored because that is the part that we eat. That is the part that has value, and the chaff has no value. Well, if you're a farmer today, you know you have to set your chaffer, you have to set your cleaner in your combine, and so that the grain that is heavy, the grain you want up in the grain tank and eventually into your silo in your home compound or haul it to town to the grain elevator, you want that in your truck. You don't want a bunch of chaff in there. They'll dock you at the elevator if your wheat is just full of chaff. And so the chaff has no value. And so you set your combine to blow the chaff out the back end. That's that big fan going out the back, the rotors that blows that chaff. For those of you who live in the town or the city, don't know what a combine is, go out and watch it work someday. But anyway, in Matthew 3:12, John the Baptist said about the winnowing fan, and talking about Jesus using the winnowing fan, he says in verse 12, his winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And so this is John the Baptist prophesying about the one coming after him. And of course, we know Matthew 3:11, John says that there's one coming after me, the thong of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire, and his winnowing fan is in his hand. He will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn. Well, that's a picture of salvation. That's a picture of the end time harvest when the wheat and the tares are gathered in together. He will gather his wheat into his barn. Those that have value will go into the silo in heaven. Those that have value will spend eternity with Jesus Christ, the angels, Father God, and all of the saints in heaven. But those who are chaff, those who have no value, those who rejected Jesus Christ and rejected his message and rejected the repentance required of them, John says that he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And so that is another picture of hell there, right there, the unquenchable fire. Well, in Mark chapter 9, in verse 42, Jesus is also speaking this, words of Jesus in red letters in my Bible, the King James Version. In verse 42, it says, whoever causes one of these little ones, he's talking about baby believers or children, either way, but whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. Verse 43, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed or crippled, rather than having two hands to go to hell into the fire that shall never be quenched. Well, that's the words of Jesus. He doesn't mince any words right there. He says, if your hand is causing you to sin, which is a reference mostly, I believe, to stealing probably, or could be cheating if you're a bookkeeper or an accountant or something, if your hand is causing you to sin, then he says it's better for you to cut it off and to go into life maimed rather than being whole in your body, but your spirit and soul is sent into hell where the fire is never quenched. And in verse 44, he says, this is a description of hell. Verse 44, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. And then in verse 45, he goes on to say, and if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. Well, that's a reference to your feet lead you to evil. If your feet are leading you to a place where you are sinning, if your feet are leading you to a place where you know you should not be, he says, if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame rather than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched. Verse 46, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Well, verse 47, same idea here. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Well, we have many sins that come in through the eyes, lust and pornography and other types of sin enter in through the eye gates because we see things we want, we covet, we desire. And so that covetousness and that desiring that what other people have leads people to sin, it leads people to steal, it leads people to scheme, to murder. And so he says, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye rather than having 2 eyes to be cast into hellfire. Verse 48, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. And so the theme here is it's better that your body not be whole than to allow your body to lead you into sin. It's better for your body to be missing parts than for your soul and your spirit to end up in the eternal fire for all eternity. And in verse 49, in Mark 9, for everyone will be seasoned with fire, and every sacrifice will be seasoned with salt. Well, I'm going to close there today. We're running out of time. But I just want you to know, beloved, God loves you very much. He doesn't want you to spend eternity separated from Him. He's provided a place for you, a place called heaven, and He wants you to be there and be with Him for all eternity. You have a choice to make. You have a decision to make. Our God is such a loving God. He never forces anybody to make a decision. He doesn't force Himself upon anybody. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman, and the Holy Spirit never forces Himself on anybody. And so you have a choice to make, whether to choose eternal life with God, with Jesus Christ, with the saints, the angels, with your family members who have chosen Jesus, or you can choose to reject Him, reject the cross, the work Jesus did on the cross, reject the blood sacrifice, the atoning blood of Jesus Christ. And if you do that, beloved, you are in a precarious situation today. You are in a risky place, because if your life on this earth should happen to be terminated or end abruptly, you will spend eternity in the place that Jesus just described. You will spend that eternal life separated from God, where the worm never dies and the fire never goes out. Well, if you make a decision to accept Jesus, let me know. Email me, pureprairie@hotmail.com. I'd like to have a discussion with you, pray with you, get you some materials to get you started on your Christian walk. Well, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We praise the Lord for that. If you'd like to be a part of this ministry to help support the radio broadcast and the projects we have going here in Africa, we'd love to hear from you. Sit down, write us out a letter, write out a check. Let us know you are listening. And we thank the Lord that you are listening today. Thank the Lord that you want to help support this ministry. Stay tuned for contact information coming up at the end of this broadcast. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.